T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Josh keeps it, runs it himself. Ball gets knocked out of his hands as he goes right side. A loose ball down there around the 24. Eagles say they have it, and they do.
That's a play that coach puts in my hands, and I got to be better with taking care of the football, and it's just one of those, got a hat on it, and they made a play when they needed to, and that's one that shouldn't happen. That's one that's in my control that I can't let happen. You know, credit to them. You know, we played a really good defense today. We got to come out, and they punched us in the mouth, and we got to answer a little better than that. And I do want to say that we didn't help ourselves most of the time. And when a team comes out and they're rolling like that, and we got to find ways to answer them. And as an offense, we didn't do that.
First was John Murphy on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, and then it was Josh Allen postgame. You heard that right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Back at it next week, Bills Redskins. The final game of a 3-game homestand before heading on the road for a couple for the Buffalo Bills. And then, you know, it's November, and that's when things start to change in the NFL, and you really find out who you are. We'll see who the Bills are. A tough one yesterday, 31-13 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. There has been a trade in the NFL today. We've told you about it already this morning. It's not breaking news right now, but earlier today, Kenyon Drake, reportedly from Adam Schefter, going from the Miami Dolphins, the running back, to the Arizona Cardinals. What's that all about? What does that say? I'm a David Johnson fantasy owner. Is his injury like suddenly way more serious? What's going on with Chase Edmonds? Why do they need Kenyon Drake? I don't know. We'll see. I haven't really read much about that. I just saw the trade that had happened, so I guess that was the deal. Jay Glazer says, looking at something that was put out on Twitter, he was asked a question about the Bills possibly in the market for a wide receiver. He said, yes, they are. He said they are in the market for a wide receiver. He also said, by the way, the Patriots are still in the market for another wide receiver after trading for Mohamed Sanu. The Packers also, he said, the Bills, the Packers, and the Patriots, all in the market for wide receivers. So that was from Jay Glazer a little while ago on answered some questions on Twitter. 803-0550, 888-552, 550. Lou in Lockport, you're up next. What's up, Lou? Lou, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I got you. Go ahead. I got you.
All right. So here's where I'm struggling as a Bills fan. So, you know, we've built this, this family kind of tight locker room, and it's worked for us. To this point with this coaching staff, but I just don't want that to get in the way of them possibly making changes other than just little tweaks. And I kind of look at the way we got run over yesterday, and I can't help but ask myself, what would Bill Belichick do if his defense just got dominated at home like that? And I don't, you know, obviously I know we don't have Brady, et cetera. They're always in the running, but look, they're still trying to get better on both sides of the ball, that team. And so that's kind of
Well, I think they're in a different spot than the Bills, too. I think they have this quarterback who's the greatest or one of the greatest, however you want to view it, of all time. And maybe he's done after this year. There's a lot of reports about that. They figure they have a closing window. I think the Bills feel their window is opening, not closing, right? I think there's a difference there.
But do you think that matters to Belichick based on what we saw of our defense yesterday? I think that he would be actively looking to make changes, including someone like Jerry Hughes, contract be damned.
No, I don't think that. I mean, look, I mean, he's made moves in the past. They got totally annihilated in Kansas City one year, right? Did he go off and trade everybody?
He did. He made a couple of major trades that year, actually, yes.
Which one was it? What year was that? You remember? What year did he do? What did he do? What did he do after that game?
That was after they won the Super Bowl. That was the first game of the season.
No, it was not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the year that they said, we're on to Cincinnati. That's a different year. They did not get beat like that. The Kansas City came in the first game of the season and beat them, and then maybe late 2 months later they made some deals. I'm talking about the year that they got thrashed in Kansas City, and everybody said, oh, my God, they're done, and they weren't. And he said, we're on to Cincinnati, and then everything was fine. My point is, I think you're overreacting a little bit. But I do agree with your original point, though. The first thing you said when you came on, by the way, Lou, I agree wholeheartedly, which is, and I think that's the internal debate they're having at One Bills Drive. you don't want to mess up the chemistry of the locker room and things like that. I mean, you do. Look at Kelvin Benjamin. The trade they made for him was, it seemed great at the time. It did not turn out well. If you could go back and rewind, I don't think they would make that trade, right? I mean, he was not the player, maybe on or off the field, like locker room, whatever. Maybe he didn't fit in, but he also didn't produce. But I do think that's a debate you have to have, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Lou hung up. I think that's an overreaction. What would Bill Belichick do? I don't know. He makes trades. He's trying to help his team. There's no doubt. I mean, I think they're in a different situation than the Bills, too, at this point. Let's go to Quentin in Buffalo. Hi, Quentin. You're on WGR.
Hello, Sal.
You're on the air, bud.
What's going on, Sal?
By the way, I'm looking now. It was in 2014. They lost in week four, the Patriots, at Kansas City, 41-14, and then suddenly they went on a huge winning streak. But anyway, just to clarify which game I was talking about.
Yeah. You know, I didn't expect the Bills to come in here and just win the game, to be honest. I think they needed a setback to reset themselves. I mean, that happens, and they're going to take a loss. I mean, second loss of the year, it's not that bad. But what has me upset, for real, is when Miles Sanders ran that 65-yard touchdown. Okay, we'll give that up. And then he just jumps in the crowd, right? There's a Bills fan standing there like he doesn't know what to do. Like, that's so, like, okay, you would jump off a table, land on your head, but you can't push the opponent off your ground, like, off your – man, that's corny. That is corny, and you are a soft Bills fan, and I hope you're
All right, Quentin. I guess if those things matter to you, I think those things matter not at all to anything, to be honest with you. And I don't know if that Bills fan particularly was jumping through a table, by the way. That was an interesting call. Quentin cares a lot about the Eagles fan jumping into the stand.
I was going to
say. That's where his anger is today. That's okay, Quentin.
I was going to say.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's a bad stereotype, you know, just to think that all 70,000 people in the building are jumping through
right,
tables.
Right, exactly. I agree with that. I have friends in town this week, by the way. Last week and this week, friends from Florida came up, and they went to their first Bills game yesterday. And my one friend's wife is an Eagles fan. He's a Raiders fan. His brother was here. He's a Steelers fan. They like everything. They're all represented, right? They're at the game. And they're asking me about that. And I said, listen, it's not everybody. Like, that's a very small segment of people that do this. But that is the reputation that fans have. And people think everybody does that stuff. And it's not true. So, Quentin, just so you know, the person who didn't, you know, push the Eagles fan back might not be the person jumping through tables. Also, I don't know. What would you do? Would you push the person back? I don't know. They're celebrating. I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to get security after me because I pushed the player. That's an interesting one. Probably spent way too much time on that call than I just did. But thanks, Quentin. I appreciate it. John in Rochester. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal. You got me now?
I got you, bud.
Oh, perfect. Listen, love your show as always. That's the first time I've called in a long time. First time on your show, I think. And I have a couple specific points about yesterday's game, if I may.
Yep.
If you give me a minute or two.
I will.
Okay, perfect. I've heard some people. Nobody really brought up. First of all, I think you brought it up probably as you always do. You had really good salient points in the beginning of your monologue. We were out coached yesterday in a pretty bad way. I felt. I think you agree. Best player on the field was Fletcher Cox. He dominated our interior. So that leads me to my first point here, because they were playing with backup tackles. We should have exploited some of that. With Frank Gore up the middle, but we were unable to because Fletcher Cox basically roamed that middle and controlled our centers. That brings me to my first point. Both lines got exposed yesterday. I feel like right side, Feliciano started the year great. You would agree. He's had a bad couple games here. Cody Ford, as always, everybody's calling him out. He's been better. He played better last week, but he got hurt yesterday. We'll have to find out what happened with him, but
he hurt his elbow. He was doubtful to return at the game. He didn't go back in, I don't believe, but we'll get an update later today.
Right. And we'll, that will be big. But, again, and you've mentioned this also about Ty Inseki. He's got a chronically injured knee or ankle. I don't know which. I'd love to find out what's going on with him because he only plays a very small portion of the game. He seems to do all right, but he can't play a full game. I know you know this because I listen to you all the time. So those are the points. I mean, I'm worried about our right side. Our left side, I think Deion Dawkins is the best the best player on the line right now. He's had a good year after the first couple weeks. And then Spain has been much better than he's outplaying his contract. Let's put it that way. He's on a ridiculously low 1 year contract. Mm-hmm. I would sign him.
Yeah, no, good points and good observations. I also think Deion Dawkins is having a good year, and I also think John Feliciano is not playing as well lately as he had. Cody Ford's a work in progress. I don't know what people expect or want from him. You'd love to have him dominate. He's a first year player. That's I think a little unrealistic. I think he stepped up his game a little bit lately. A little inconsistent yesterday though.
Perfect. Yeah, I knew you'd agree with that. And yep. Then Morris is interesting, but I'm not going to get into him. But.
Well, you know, Morris is more of an athletic guy. I think that's a tough matchup for him against Fletcher Cox. I really do.
Exactly. So I'm not going to hold him to that. So now that's some of the off. I'm not going to get into the play calling and the reason why they didn't have McKenzie in the game versus Duke Williams. I think that's a waste of a roster spot. I think we do need somebody that can, we do need a wide receiver on the outside other than a Foster who's not getting any play just on a deep balls. And they know he's in there for a deep ball if he's in there. And we need somebody who can dominate on the outside, along with John Brown, who's been excellent. And like other callers have said, Beasley's not in the same page totally with Josh. I think they can work that out. But getting to the defense, and this is the big problem. Okay, it's been exposed since Harrison Phillips went out second, third week. He was our best defensive lineman until he went out. I think you'd agree with me on that. Since then, we've got Oliver in there, who's a penetrator. We've got Phillips in there, who's a penetrator. We don't have anybody who can stop the run. Dar Latulule has been a huge disappointment. At this point, they were playing him a lot less when Harrison was in there. They're forced to play him. They brought in this Pacco guy who's too small to stop the run. I do feel we've got a guy, if you look deeper into the Bills' roster, and there's a guy named Vincent Taylor from Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. picked up from the Dolphins early in the year. He may be ready to come in. I think they need him. He's a run stuffer. He's played 2 years with the Dolphins. He had 45 tackles last year, I believe. He's a good player. The Dolphins were very upset when they cut to him. He's a young guy. He's still got 2 years left on a first contract. Maybe he's ready to come in. I think he'd do better than Pacco. Otherwise, we need to look for somebody because they exposed us in the middle terribly.
All right, man. Good call. I appreciate it. As far as the Dolphins maybe being upset, they could always sign him. He is a practice squad player. They are free agents. But I love your points and attention to detail and things like that. That was really good. Some of the things you brought up. So thanks for the call. Let's go to Nate in New York. Not much to add. You did a good job there. What's up, Nate?
Hey, Sal. Good to talk to you, man. Right. Listen, I've been on this thing. I think we talked at the very beginning of the season about Daboll and the tight ends and the way he's using the tight ends. And if you remember, we weren't sure if it was Daboll's ability to construct a plan for the tight ends or if it was a question of tight end talent. Now, seven games in, we see that we have nominal talent at the tight end. Croft is back in. Dawson Knox has been a pleasant surprise. Sweeney has some speed. And Lee Smith is a good blocker. So there's clearly a good plan for the tight end, a good group of tight ends. However, all I see is Daboll sort of overusing this kind of 21 package where it's two tight ends or one tight end and a running back. And so what it does is it seems to be crowding the front eight, even nine guys down into the box. And so the whole idea of having Cole Beasley release underneath, there's no room for him. And I feel like philosophically, like everybody's going to call and say, I hate the play calling. I'm just really disappointed with the play calling philosophy that we are not even considering the spread game and putting both Brown and Foster on the outside and just sending them to the house and then getting these defenses to bite on the deeper balls so that A, we can expose the run because we have a good, average per carry. And be exposed, and get more production out of a guy like Beasley because when everybody's now when they start playing cover two to look out for those deep balls, guys like Beasley and the tight ends can release underneath, or dare I say, Singletary, who isn't being used.
Well, Nate, if you go back, you bring up good points. They used a little more of that in the first couple games, I thought, especially first week against the Jets, the first series. It was great. They kept moving the running back out. They were pulling linebackers out of the box, and I think there's something to be said there. I'd like to see a little bit more of that as well.
I absolutely agree. We did it to the Giants.
Yep.
Everything was sending everything past the sticks, and suddenly the defense got confused. Who do we cover? Because, and I say this carefully, because Singletary, I think, is a weapon that isn't being used very well either, because once you can get to that point and get the defenses kind of thinking and guessing and scratching their heads, he becomes a real weapon for bubble screens and little dump offs and jump out in the flat and grab something, because as you saw yesterday even, he's a playmaker once he gets the ball in his hands.
So yeah, no doubt.
The sum total is, it's not just that it was bad play calling. I just think the play calling philosophy in general and not taking advantage of the spread. And by the way, last thing, I promise, if you spread them out and if you have guys way on the outside and you're sending everybody deep and you have the options like Beasley and Singletary in the flat.
You can also, let me just guess what you're going to say. You can also run Josh Allen.
Bigger lanes for the quarterback.
Yeah.
Very mobile. Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly. I agree with you 100%. Somebody called earlier, by the way, Nate, and said that they didn't like Josh running on design run as much. I'm fine with it. As long as you create opportunities for him to get yards and he's not, you know, banging his head against the wall and trying to get, you know, extra yards in the first down and he knows. I'm fine with it. Spread it out. He's a running back there if you want to spread it out. You can do that.
Exactly.
You have to account for him. Thanks, Nate. Good call. Good philosophy stuff there. And I'd like to see, and I know there are numbers on this, and someone out there can do it for me. I don't have the time right now, maybe even later. But no, you could do this. Somebody can figure it out. I would like to know. I mean, maybe it's not as much as I think or Nate thinks, but was there a difference in the number of spread formations they used the first couple of weeks versus what they're using now? I'm not sure. They did bring Tyler Kroft back. They've used three tight ends sometimes. They use two tight ends. Are they reducing the formation? By reducing, by the way, it's football term for saying, are they not as spread out? They're bringing everybody more closer into the line of scrimmage. And basically have, you know, six or seven guys from tight end to tight end instead of just five guys and then, you know, spreading everybody out. So are they doing that more often now? I don't know. It seems like it, though. It feels like it. Good call there. I like calls like that and appreciate it. And that's why we're here on a Buffalo Football Monday. Mike in Buffalo, what's going on, man?
Hey, Sal, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. You know, so with Allen, I'm a positive guy, and I'm really on the wagon of Josh Allen because of his toughness. But two things need to happen. A, consistency needs to go up on a regular basis, and two, the ability to hit the deep ball. And I'm not trying to state the obvious, but if we set realistic expectations to probability in history, I was looking at it this morning, the last 30 years, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, right? They're either elite or they're highly consistent. And I think if you take out three quarterbacks, Foles, Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer, and maybe Hostetler, every other quarterback was either elite or highly consistent. And of those, everybody can hit the deep ball. Maybe Russell Wilson isn't known to hit the deep ball. But if you look at all those quarterbacks over 30 years, those are two deliverables that we need to see out of Josh Allen in order for us to even be considered a Super Bowl contender. And I think the next question is, you know, what's acceptable in Buffalo? Is it an AFC championship game? Is it a playoff berth? But ultimately, we want to win a Super Bowl. I think those are the two things that we need to see out of Josh in the future. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate your phone call. I think that what's acceptable might change this year compared to next year, right? Is playoffs acceptable this year and you think, hey, we're on the right track? I think that would be fine. If you're the New England Patriots and you have what they have and Tom Brady at his situation, you'd say, no, Super Bowls. They've been winning Super Bowls. I don't think you could say here in Buffalo now, anything less than a Super Bowl is not acceptable. You get to the playoffs this year, I think that's a good season for the Buffalo Bills. And they're still tracking that way. So I think that's okay. But next year, then the standard becomes higher. Right? The standard can't be AFC Championship or Super Bowl this year. And if it is for you, I think you're knocking on the wrong door. And that'd be great if that could happen. And I'm not discounting weird things, breaking people's ways, getting into the playoffs, having a good game plan, a couple bounces, and you get there. I'm not discounting that can't happen. Of course it can. But I don't think that should be anybody's expectations. And I think that you are really setting yourself up to be really disappointed if that is your expectation. It's not fair, by the way. So I think those things change. As far as the quarterbacks, I think we've always known that, right? You've pretty much always known. It's been the thing, at least for the last 20 years. He goes back 30. You got to have a really, really good quarterback. Now, granted, there have been quarterbacks who've won because of defense. They haven't been the elite guys. That's really very, very, very rare. It's one-offs. It happens. But I think the question is, based on what the caller just said, has the traits of those quarterbacks changed over the years? Can you win with certain types of quarterbacks who we do consider elite or great or whatever versus other quarterbacks? Deep ball, I'm not sure. I mean, I think you need everything in your arsenal. I do think you need a really, really highly skilled quarterback, whether you want to call him elite or not. to win a Super Bowl. But I do think it's kind of changed on what the traits of that particularly means. Used to be a completion percentage of 61 was great in the NFL. It really was. Now that's horrible. Think about that. I mean, Jim Kelly was not a great completion percentage guy compared to today. He was great compared to when he played. So you have to kind of massage that as well as you go forward. Doing a lot of good work today here on the Extra Point Show. Thank you very much for coming along. I appreciate it a lot. And I need to tell you about Northland Workforce Training Center before we go to the next break, because even though I know football players don't like to spend the season on the bench, and I know you don't want to be on the bench, you can always get off the bench and earn 30 to 50 grand a year when you get behind the bench at Northland Workforce Training Center. They're going to train you to do that. All right, Northland Workforce Training Center is officially open at their state-of-the-art facility, 683 Northland in the city of Buffalo. I've been there. I'm going to be there again in a couple weeks doing an event there to raise some money for scholarships for people going to Northland. It's a really amazing place. Go in and check it out for yourself. They have pre-enrollment sessions Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Wednesdays at 10 a.m., Thursdays at 4 p.m. Find out how easy and inexpensive it is to train for a new career. Once you're done learning, getting on the field is simple. Just complete your training and go to Northland, and Northland's going to help you place you in a job making 30 to 50 grand a year. Get a starting position when you spend the season behind the workbench training for jobs in advanced manufacturing or energy. There's dollars to be made in those skilled trades. Northland Workforce Training Center. They have the training. All they need is you. Go to northlandwtc.org. We'll take a timeout, and when we come back, we got to get to sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and more of your phone calls.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Give credit to them. They came out and established a line of scrimmage early in the game, and that carried through the rest of the game. We had a bad fit on the run after half there. You got to be able to fit it right, and you got to establish a line of scrimmage really on both sides of the ball.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We'll hear from him again today down at the stadium. Keep it tuned here all day for a Buffalo Football Monday. Sal Capaccio back here in the Extra Point Show. Great show today. Thank you very much for everybody coming aboard. We still got some phone calls to get to. Still have a few other things to get to as well. Every single home game, I give you a Facebook Live preparing you for the game. It's over at our WGR Facebook page, and it's brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Because remember, if you're injured at work, your employer and their insurance company have their attorneys already working for them from the day you get injured. That's why you shouldn't do anything alone. You got to call the hardworking team at Losi and Ganji. They work hard so their clients receive the maximum settlement, and they even take care of the small details that you don't even have to worry about. They're going to make sure it's handled properly. From making sure you're receiving your weekly benefits and your medical treatments to making sure you get your settlement. Last year, Losi and Ganji obtained over $22 million for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Now, obviously, past results don't guarantee any future outcomes, but you deserve a hardworking team working for you to get that outcome you deserve and in your best interest. For workers' comp and personal injury, call Losi and Ganji, 854-1446, or go online to losi-ganji.com. That's Losi and Ganji, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. We'll get to sit up, stand down, hey buddy, in just a moment. Let's head out to the phone lines first, though. And we got Mo. What's going on, Mo? How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Sal? You all right?
I'm all right. You getting ready for the big day Sunday?
Yeah, we're ready, man. Me and Mike are ready. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be great. I think...
Well, let me tell you, everybody, Mo Badger here, singing cop. Him and his partner, Mike, they're going to sing the national anthem Sunday at New Era Field, and we're looking forward to that, man.
Yes, sir. I'm really excited about it. It's definitely an honor, you know, especially for, you know, a lot of the first responders that will be getting honored on that day as well. So it's going to be awesome.
What'd you think about yesterday?
Oh, man, you know, it was the first time I felt like we got outclassed, really outclassed coaching, especially on the offensive end. When you saw the adjustments that they made, especially in that second half, they really, you know, made it their mission to pound the ball. And I thought that's what we were going to do. And I didn't see us doing that. So that was kind of disheartening. And, you know, even with the Josh, you know, a lot of people say that's not what we lost. I really think that end of the second quarter turnover really lost us the game, lost us momentum.
It was a huge play.
I mean, you know, I was, you know, with some Eagles fans, and they were kind of like, this doesn't look good, you know. Then that turned to, like, in that little bit, turned their whole momentum around. You know, they got louder, they got more boisterous, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, even in that, you know, I would have liked to see us spread it. I don't know why we won't spread it. And then, you know, go into that shotgun and then walk them up under centering and then, you know, sneak it. You know, but we're going to pound our quarterback into, you know, the ground, you know, really let them take these hits like that. You know, I would like to see him spread it out and then see what his athleticism can do. You know, even, you know, the runs that they had, these runs that they kind of drew up. Well, I didn't expect him to run on 3rd and 10 and stuff like that. But they found, you know, him. He got space. He didn't get hit hard. And, you know, you just saw, you know, their offensive coordinator. They got their skill guys the ball in space. And we're not seeing that.
Yeah.
So when our skill guys get the ball, they're getting hit immediately. I mean, well, we did get the one that the touchdown to Singletary, which was beautiful, you know, just to get them that ball and let them do something with it. You saw over and over again, even when they got, you know, when we stopped them, they had multiple plays where they got their guys the ball in space, and we're not doing that yet.
All right, buddy, listen, enjoy the week. Again, Sunday, Mo and his partner Mike, the Singing Cops, you've seen them. They've been on the Ellen Show. They're right here in Buffalo. They're some of Buffalo's finest. They're going to be singing the national anthem. Now, here's the thing, Mo, all right? Now, listen, now, last week I was at this event for Eric Wood, raising money, flights and bites, and they got me up on stage to play the drums because I'm a drummer, all right? So maybe someday, you know, when you get to you know, Carnegie Hall or, you know, you're performing out at MSG or here at KeyBank Center, you know, you pull me out of the crowd and I can come up there and join you on the mic as well.
Let's do it.
I was Conrad Birdie and Bye Bye Birdie in high school, pal. Okay, I'll have you know.
Get it, Sal. That's what I'm talking about. Have fun. I know that.
All right. Thanks for keeping our streets safe, buddy. Thank you.
So I'm looking for it. Hey, thank you, Sal. We'll see you Sunday.
All right. Thank you very much. Good stuff there. Mo Badger. Glad he calls. He listens all the time. I see Mo and his partner, Mike. They're good people. Keegan and Alden. What's up, Keegan?
How you doing, Sal?
Good. Thanks.
Hey, thanks again for another awesome breakdown of my favorite team in always will be.
That's why we're here every Monday, man. Thanks.
Yeah, I know. I listen every Monday. I've never called in, but I'm a little perturbed with always being compared to the New England Patriots because, Belichick and Brady have had this chemistry for, a better portion of a decade now, whatever. And we've had that before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just about every team at some point in time over the last 100 years has. It's. I don't think that's the point. My point is we need to go back to basic football. Frank Gore. We have Frank Gore, who is, correct me if I'm wrong, 36, 38 years old, probably one of the
36. Yep.
You know, arguably one of the better running backs in the NFL over the years. But we have a fresh set of legs in there with Singletary, and I don't believe he's been given a fair shake.
I don't know about fair, but I mean, I think I just he played a lot yesterday. He was on the field a ton more than Frank Gore. He just didn't get the ball.
It's one thing to be in this game for 85-90% of the game, but you look at some of the better teams in the league, their running backs are getting anywhere between 18 and 22 touches a game. We're not giving him anything close to that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that as well. Hey, I got to run. I appreciate you always listening, and thanks for finally calling, man.
I think that if we were to give him a fair shake at that and see what he's actually capable of,
yep,
giving him fair touches, that would be a huge effort on a running game.
Yep.
And you put the running game in there, everybody knows what happens when you have a running game.
All right, Keegan. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I got to run. I got a few things to get to, but thank you so much for the phone call. And I didn't want to cut him short, but got a few things I have to get to as well. So we'll do that. All right, you ready? I want to do a little sit up and stand down. I want you to play a game along with me here, John, as I do this. You ready? We're going to sit up on something that I want to ask you about. You ready? All right. I want to take the Cincinnati Bengals for a second. You know about the Bengals. Think about their team. They're 0-8. They were here in Buffalo. They came a whisker away from, you know, beating the Bills. The Bills had a comeback there, right? Here's the Cincinnati Bengals schedule. They have a bye next week. Tell me, win or lose on each of these games. Ready?
Oh, this is John picks the Bengals.
Yeah, basically,
like
there's
it.
A reason for this. I'm doing this. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
They got the Ravens. Now, when I say, unless I say at, it's home.
Okay.
Ravens at home.
No.
At Oakland.
No.
Steelers at home.
You know what?
Maybe.
I'll give them a chance. That's okay. A maybe. Yeah. It depends what types of Steelers show up.
Jets at home.
No.
At the Browns.
Nope.
Patriots at home.
No, no, definitely not.
Okay, I'm going to skip week 16 because week 17 they have the Browns at home. Probably
yeah,
not.
I don't think, especially okay. Because the Browns are going to be battling for a playoff spot still most
okay,
likely.
Okay, now, that's the reason I did this is, here's the thing, John. Let's sit up on maybe the Bengals having the number one pick.
Yeah.
Week 16 they play the Dolphins at the Dolphins. And the Dolphins with Ryan Fitzpatrick might be able to make some things happen. So here's the Dolphins schedule real quick. Let's do this. You ready? All right. They're over. They are at Pittsburgh tonight on Monday night.
I think that that's a loss.
They get the Jets at home.
That I gave the Jets an easy win against the Bengals, but I feel like that might not be an okay. easy game for them, especially if
their
Fitzpatrick's
former head coach coming in.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. At the Colts. No.
No.
Bills at home. They're not going to lose the Bills. Right? They're not going to beat the Bills, right? They're not going to. I mean, come on. We can't have that happen. At Cleveland?
No.
Eagles at home?
No.
At the Jets?
Nope.
At the Giants?
Nope. No.
At the Patriots?
No.
And week 16, we'll jump back to Bengals at home, possibly. This literally could be number one pick bowl, week 16.
Has there ever been a game between two 0-14 teams?
I remember the deepest ever went when I was a kid. I remember there was like an 0-10 or 0-11. It was the Houston Oilers against somebody. Maybe the Bucks. I can't remember, but I'll have to look that up. We could be seeing, I mean, so here's the thing. Folks, sit up on the Bengals maybe being having the number one pick. I mean, it's possible.
What I need is
And especially if they trade A.J. Green, he doesn't play for him all year. They may maybe they're going to trade Carlos Dunlap. I've heard his name.
Right. Yeah. No, they could be blowing it up, as they should. But
right.
What I need Tua or whatever other top prospect there is to be on the sidelines like a top college recruit in that game, basically seeing which one of these teams is going to be his future. Because that's the only way I'm going to tune in.
And if
that
they do,
game.
By the way, they do take Tua, I think. If they do take a quarterback, probably Tua, I don't think they stay with Andy Dalton if they get the number one pick. I don't think that happens. Not with Zach Taylor now, new head coach coming in, wanting to get his guy maybe. You know, we'll see. All right, this is what I'm going to stand down on. I'm not going to be popular when I say this, okay? Because I've heard all of your complaints. I looked at it. I'm going to stand down on all of you critics of the Monday Night Football schedule. It's actually not that bad. Now, granted, you can't predict injuries. Dolphins, we knew they were going to stink. They're at the Steelers tonight. Whatever. But look, there's some good games coming up on Monday Night Football. Cowboys at Giants, not the greatest. But listen to this. After the next 2 weeks, Seahawks, Niners, Chiefs, Chargers. I know the Chargers aren't what they were, but you know what? That's still, to me, that's an intriguing matchup. Ravens, Rams, Vikings, Seahawks. You got Colts, Saints. The Monday Night schedule is not that bad. Packers, Vikings. Everybody bangs on it. I'm here to tell you, enjoy it. There are some dog games. I agree with you. But the majority of them, we've had some good games this year. Texans Saints was amazing. Right? I mean, Browns Niners was supposed to be really good going into the year. We had a really good Packers Lions game the other week. All right, it's not the greatest schedule. It's not nearly the dog schedule, everyone says. Some good Monday night games coming up. Seahawks 49ers is going to be excellent. Ravens Rams is good. Vikings Seahawks is good. Colts Saints, come on.
That's a lot of good games.
Yeah,
they
come on.
A lot of good games.
Stop being the person who just has to go with the crowd. Stop being a follower. Start being a leader, all right? Monday Night Football schedule's okay. All right, take a timeout. We're going to come back. Hey, buddy. Who's my buddy? I'm going to give you a little hint. I got a few different buddies. and they're in the NFL, and they're not here in Buffalo. They did something really cool that I want to tell you about. We'll do that when we come back on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, listen, if you're playing some sports, you're out, you're just in the backyard, something happens, you fall, you got a sprain, you got a strain, you got a break, get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Sal Capaccio here in the Extra Point Show and reminding you that Excelsior Orthopedics Express makes it super easy and quick and less expensive than anywhere else you can go to get the care you need for your muscles, your bones, your joints, anytime you have any sort of injury. That's because at Excelsior Orthopedics Express, they've changed the way you receive care, all right? You can skip the ER, General Urgent Care Center. You see a specialist right away. One stop, one copay. You walk in, you walk out with everything you need. Imaging, casting, splints, they have it all. Open weekdays and evenings as well as Saturdays. Excelsior Orthopedics Express is on Sheridan Drive in Amherst on Niagara Falls Boulevard near the airport. And their newest location is serving the South Towns right off Mile Strip near the 219 in Orchard Park. Call 250-9999 to get the care you need at Excelsior Orthopedics Express. All right, my buddy this week. Hey, buddy. It is a group of players in the NFL who did something very cool.
What's up, G?
My
it's your boys.
What's good, G?
We here, baby.
Good, big homie.
Here, man. Supporting you, supporting myself, man. We know you couldn't be here. I know it's a big moment for you. We want to be here to represent for you, man. Let you know that we love you. We always appreciate you, man. We always part of the...
All right, now listen. That is the Instagram post you can find, and you're wondering maybe what is that? Let me explain what this is. All right, this is cool. This tugs at my heartstrings, and I think this is super cool. That was one of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers players. I don't know who exactly was in the video talking there, but here's what happened. So Gerald McCoy used to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's on the Carolina Panthers, but he still makes his home in Tampa. His son plays football at Tampa Catholic High School. The season is winding down for high schools. They had their last home game, which means senior night. His son is a senior at Tampa Catholic High School. But because the Carolina Panthers played on the West Coast at San Francisco, Gerald McCoy had to get on a plane on a Friday. They went out there a day early. They went on a Friday out to San Francisco for the game. He could not be at his son's senior night. And if you've ever been involved in any sort of high school athletics, band, cheerleaders, whatever, you may know and you might see, senior night's cool because your family comes out, they walk out there with you, and you get recognized. He couldn't be there with his son, and he was really bummed. So, Lavonte David, Donovan Smith, Jameis Winston, and Mike Evans, all his boys from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, showed up without him knowing to be there for his son to walk him out on the field. How cool is that?
Pretty darn cool.
That's family, man.
I like that.
This tugs at my heartstrings because I'm a former high school coach, I'm a former high school teacher, and now I'm a dad. And I think that's just really awesome that happened. You can find the story, by the way. Go check it out on Twitter, on Instagram, or whatever. And McCoy wrote on the Instagram, "People don't understand the type of brotherhood that sports can build. In my time in the NFL, I've grown to earn true brothers. And this is an example of that. Anybody who knows me knows how much I love my kids, and I miss Marcellus. His son's name is, it's Marcellus Crutchfield. There it is. And he said, senior night really hurt me, but my brother stepped in for me. I truly love these cats. Family for life. It's bigger than football. Let's remember, these are not his teammates anymore.
No,
these are guys that he played with.
Yeah, and I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but his leaving from Tampa Bay, it wasn't exactly the cleanest of breakups.
That's right, with the organization.
So for his teammates to still kind of, not, saying we don't care about what the organization thinks, but to still be like, no, this is our guy, this is our friend, we want to be there for his son, that's really big of them.
No doubt about it, and Tampa Catholic, by the way, you can go see the post they did, TC Crusader, Tampa Crusader Athletics, and again, just something that I thought was super cool. And, you know, people who listen to me all the time know that I'm very big on that. I'm very big on the culture stuff, the family stuff. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all. I'm not saying that if you have to have the certain way to culture to win or whatever. I think all cultures are different. You can win, you can lose. It doesn't matter. But I do think it matters to have people that you care about, that you go to work with every day, that you play with, especially in highly competitive sports. And this is an example of a brotherhood that was created. So my buddies are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers players, specifically Lavonte David, Donovan Smith, Jameis Winston, and Mike Evans, who showed up, surprisingly, to be there for Gerald McCoy's son at his senior night because McCoy couldn't be there. Very cool. All right, looking ahead to next week, the Bills play the Washington Redskins. They're 1-7. Here's what concerns me a little bit, and I know 1-7 concern, right? I mean, we should be because they did have a Thursday night game. They'll have a little more rest. We don't know who's going to play quarterback right now. Case Keenum in the concussion protocol. He did not play in the second half of Thursday night's game against the Vikings because of a concussion. So it could very well be Dwayne Haskins, the rookie. And if that's the case, I think the Bills can do a lot of different things against him to confuse him. Case Keenum, he very well, you know, you never know which Case Keenum you're going to get sometimes, but he's done a nice job at times this year. They are 1-7. But here's the bigger concern. They got an interim head coach who's a former, he's an offensive line coach. And he's always been considered a good offensive line coach, Bill Callahan. You think Bill Callahan's not going to look at that film and say, we're going to win the game by bashing this team up the middle? That's what Bill Callahan does. That's what he wants to do. He's going to do that Sunday. They're going to take Adrian Peterson and run him into the A-gaps about 50 times maybe on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not
That's what they might do.
Not looking forward to that.
But
I'm
not saying you should be worried about
game.
It. I'm just saying that the Bills have had trouble lately, and you got an offensive line coach here, a very highly regarded one, that's now an interim head coach, and that's the way he believes in winning football games, so he's going to try and do that.
Yeah, and that's how they won their only game this year.
Right.
So I think that they realize if we're going to win this game, this is how we do it. And luckily for Washington, that was the Bills', you know, biggest downfall this week was the run game and protecting it.
And the Redskins not great in the rankings department, 30th in yards per game, 29th in yards per play. They only have 12.4 points per game on the season, and that ranks third to last ahead of only the Dolphins and the Jets. So we'll see. But that's all Sunday. We got a whole week to talk about that. You got a whole Buffalo football Monday today. Up next, John Murphy and Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. After that, Shopin the Bulldog, they will have Micah Hyde on with them. I'll be down at the stadium for Sean McDermott, Brian Daboll, and Leslie Frazier. And don't forget tonight, Coyotes at Sabres right here on WGR. Good Extra Point show today. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.